welcome to That Story Show, where hilarious real-life stories take the spotlight. This week, John shares stories about running away, learning to swim, embarrassing himself in front of girls, and much more. Andrew's typically peaceful sister goes ham on a murderous cat, and Evel tries to do a backflip off a diving board without knowing how to swim. All this and more coming up on this episode of That Story Show. We'll be right back.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, welcome back to That Story Show, episode 453, brought to you the week of October 20th, 2023. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, James W. Kennison, actually, and my good friend is here.
Well, hello, I'm John H. Steinklauber. James, real quick question for you. Do you know what country's capital is growing the fastest?
Hungary? No, I don't know.
No, that's good, close guess. So it's actually Ireland, because every day it's Dublin.
Every day it's Dublin.
I don't even know if that's the right thing. Yeah, thanks for the courtesy chuckle.
No, that one got me. That one actually got me. So anyway,
ukulele.
So what does the H stand for?
My middle name.
Yeah. You don't want to share it? I'll share mine if you share yours.
All right, I will. I know yours already, but...
Well, the audience may not.
Yeah. My middle name is the first name of my mom's dad.
Oh.
So his name was Harold Meinert.
Oh. So Meinert was John Harold Steinklauber.
John Harold Steinklauber. So, and I never... was a big fan of it, but
I hate mine. I hate mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wesley.
I think that's good because, you know, every time I think of Wesley, I go to that episode in Star Trek, The Next Generation, where Picard's, shut up, Wesley.
I just think they leaned really hard into your last name and committed to this German thing. They should have had something more Germany. In your middle
German.
Name.
Yeah. Like Heinrich?
Yeah. Yeah. John. Just something to ease you into Steinklauber. John Harold. That's just moving backwards, you know?
John Harold Steinklauber.
Harold Steinklauber. Harold. I don't know. I don't know what it would be, but
Geraldo.
Geraldo. Yeah, there you go. Something nice and Italian. I don't know.
That one starts with a G, I think. Oh, Geraldo. Okay. Remember that guy from the 80s? The mustache.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's still around, yeah. Dude.
Is he really?
He is. That mustache has gotten bigger, too.
Has it?
Yeah, I think he dies.
I'm going to have to Google him.
I think it. Yeah, yeah, you sure should. It does. You should.
If it's not gray, it's definitely dyed.
Yeah, absolutely. We always start with an opening story. This is called Cat Killer. And don't be afraid, pet lovers. Huh? Pet lovers. There's no killing of animals in this story. You'll see why I called it Cat Killer in a minute. All right. This comes to us from Andrew Mulder in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, James and John. My sister just did something super funny, and I knew it was perfect for that story show. So here it is. Yes. So the other day, my sister named Holland, that's a pretty name, wanted to ride her bike. On her way to the garage to get her bike, she noticed that the bird feeder was empty, so she decided to fill it up first. When Holland arrived at the bird feeder, to her horror, she found a cat chewing on a dead bird.
Oh, poor bird.
So now my sister loves birds. So seeing chewing on a dead bird sent her into a crazed insanity. And I agree. I've read this story. This girl goes into a crazed insanity. So she then proceeded to shout, "I will kill you, you stupid cat." And she took off to the garage and grabbed my Nerf bow.
Oh, you are going to die in the most painful, slow way.
Now, this thing's harmless to humans, but it might hurt a little on demons such as this cat. So with her bow in hand, Holland ran back to the feeder yelling, "Die, stupid cat!" Seeing my sister out for blood, the cat immediately dropped the dead bird and took off toward the front yard. My sister, hot on his tail, when they arrived at the front yard, my sister took aim and fired the bow. It hit the cat in the butt, making the little demon jump and shriek and run faster. Have you ever heard a cat shriek? Oh, okay.
Yeah, all the time.
So got a little little tap on the hindquarters there.
A little shrieking cat.
Oh, shriek. I think that's harmless. That's pretty harmless and funny. So now the cat was heading toward our neighbor's fence where it would escape before my bloodthirsty, normally nice sister would kill it with this Nerf bow. Seeing this, my sister grabbed her arrow and ran after the cat, only for the demon to make one more leap and jump over the fence and return to whatever Hades it came from. Angry but happy she had hit it with her Nerf arrow, she went back to the garage for that bike ride. A couple of days later, our neighbor told us that a few days ago he had looked out at his window and had seen his cat, aka this little demon, running for his life. And then he saw Holland's braids flying, chasing after the cat over the top of the fence with the Nerf bow, shouting, "Die." He said he had never seen something so funny in his life, and we still joke about it and tease her a lot. And I learned I will never think about her the same way again. I hope this makes it on the show. See you guys later. Andrew Mulder, Louisville, Kentucky. I wrote a poem. Do you want to read it? Do you want me to read it, rather?
Yeah, yeah.
That tiny little demon wished that Holland hadn't seen him. She went Nerf crazy, screaming. Hit him in the butt, believe it. I wish I'd been there to see it, those braids flying so deliberate. Glad she got a shot of that cat. I wish we had more stories just like that.
So, oh, man.
It's like a little recap song.
Yeah, it's almost Seussian. Dr. Seussian.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, it wasn't too rhymey.
Right.
It's like classic. It's classic. It's your new thing, right?
Yeah, right. If you listen to songs on the radio, they don't rhyme anymore. They do masculine rhymes, which are close rhymes. So
it's more like it rhymes with a grunt,
right,
or something.
Yeah. If you listen to Taylor Swift music, she's rhyming words that don't rhyme, is all I'm saying. Like redneck and heartbreak. Like if you separate them enough, it sounds like it works together. So, yeah,
I didn't know that. I hadn't noticed that. I haven't really been in the pop music scene very
Yeah.
Lately.
My son listens to a lot of Taylor Swift, which I approve of. Like, learned and burn don't rhyme.
Learned and burn. No, they kind of.
They they're masculine rhymes. That's what they call that.
Masculine
rhymes. It is a rhyme that works, but it's not perfect. So,
okay, like lard and hard. Those rhyme. Those perfectly. Rhyme.
But hard but, and I don't know.
Bard. No,
that rhymes.
It's too hard to rhyme masculine words. I don't understand.
But, you know, rappers do it and Taylor Swift does it. So I took some initiative and did it too. So Screaming and Believe
Good
It.
Good for you.
Yeah, you know, crazy Screaming and Believe It. It sounds like it rhymes, but it doesn't. So anyway, thanks. Thanks for listening to it. Let's do some news nuggets. All right, this is straight from the presses. Stranded on the Eiffel Tower, a couple decides to wed in Paris.
Oh.
Police arrested a man climbing Thursday on the Eiffel Tower, leading to visitors being temporarily stranded at the summit. You know what I'm going to do today? I am going to climb the Eiffel Tower. Good to climb.
For some reason, I feel like that happens a lot.
Yeah, I think it's the thing. It's a thing. They should put a fence up. These guys were stranded, including a reporter for the Associated Press and a Washington, D.C. couple who decided during the wait to get married. Amir Khan had been planning to propose to Kat Warren later Thursday in a Paris garden away from the crowds with a romantic dinner at the River Seine. How do you say that?
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Also, was
something
on the menu.
French, probably.
Yeah, very French. So, I'm going to climb the Eiffel Tower today. So, But when the elevators were temporarily shut down because the climber stranded the couple and threw their whole day off. So, he decided to spring his surprise right there. So,
yeah, okay.
An AP journalist from Connecticut who was also stuck up there got the story. I figured we might be here longer than I imagined. He told the reporter, so I didn't want to miss dinner. And she always wanted to be proposed to on or under the Eiffel Tower. So I figured this is it. This is the moment.
This is the moment.
Very specific commands, you know.
On or under the tower.
I proposed to my wife while she was sitting on a couch at a friend's house. So things have changed a lot since.
Yeah.
Since then.
I bet you the dude hired the guy to climb the thing so they get stuck up there. That's how much detail he put into his proposal.
Is that how it works now? Is that what people Probably. Do? Hey, you can hire me to climb the tower and I will strand you up in the top.
You will be stranded for days.
And if she says no, you can jump from the tower and I will catch you. So anyway. So he proposed to her. He said, this is it. This is the moment. And the answer was yes, of course. I had a pretty good chance she was going to say yes all along. Besides, when you're trapped at the top of a 330-meter tower, how can anyone say no? Had that happened, somebody else would have been climbing the Eiffel Tower today, she joked. The climber was found between the tower's second and third floors, said Alice Berdoux, communications director for the Paris Landmark. A specialist team of climbing firefighters led the man down and police arrested him. She said that they'd been subsequently informed that the man was carrying a banner about the American singer-songwriter Billie Eilish.
Oh.
I think it said Free Billie Eilish, she said. I'm not sure at this moment, but on the face of it, that was the message. What's going on with Billie Eilish that she needs to be freed from?
Right. There's a lot going on in that story, James.
Okay.
First, the climber.
Yeah.
With a banner to free Billie Eilish. That's weird.
Yeah.
And who knows? A specialist team of climbing firefighters?
I know. They must be trained on the tower. You know what I'm saying?
I can imagine that's probably what they do. Can you imagine trying out for that team?
Yeah. Can I go climb the Eiffel Tower? No, you have to be part of a special group. Well, can I join the special group?
Maybe the guy climbing the tower was just trying to get enlisted into the special climbing firefighter team. Maybe that's what he wanted to do.
Well, he thought Billie Eilish was the key.
Right. You know?
And she's looking at that. She's going to see it. It'll make international news, he thought. She will see that I want her free. And she'll understand my secret message that no one else understands. Now, you have to imagine, if you're crazy enough to climb the Eiffel Tower with a banner, that possibly your motivations for climbing the banner are also crazy, or climbing the tower. So,
free Billy Eilish.
Yeah. I always thought it was English for a long time. Billy English.
Billy English? Yeah. I think there is a Billy English. Yeah. I thought Billie Eilish was a dude for a long time.
Really?
I just heard the name. Yeah.
No, she's definitely not.
And like, oh, yeah, Billie Eilish song, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, who's that? Sounds like I don't know who that is singing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't even point out one of her songs. How uncultured am I that I don't
know?
Oh,
man, I like Bad Guy.
Is it a song about DC or a Marvel villain?
It's just, she's a bad guy. That's all.
Oh, she's the bad guy.
Yeah.
This story comes to us from my home state of Florida. Now, James, you were born in Florida too, right?
Yes, Gainesville.
This comes from your hometown, James.
Yep.
Hometown. The headline here is Florida police pull over two kids during driving mom's car on freeway 200 miles from home. A 10-year-old Florida boy and his 11-year-old sister, who are running away to California, drove 200 miles in their mother's car before they were stopped by sheriff's deputies on an interstate highway, authorities say. Alachua.
That's Florida Alachua. Boy. I'm Florida boy. Sorry.
Yeah. See, I grew up in Seminole County, and I never went to
some
Alachua.
Indian words are easier to pronounce than others.
Yeah, that's right. Half the counties in Florida are named after
the Native tribes American. That they stole the freaking land from.
Yeah, come it. What was that? Alachua?
Alachua.
Alachua. The sheriff's office said deputies spotted the sedan on I-75 near Gainesville in North Florida just before 4 a.m. Thursday. The children's mother had reported it stolen and her children missing 4 hours earlier in Northport. It's a city in southwest Florida.
She messed up. She never could have guessed what actually happened, you know? So she reported two things. One, my car has been stolen, and two, my children are missing. She never put the two together. And why would she?
Right. I'm 10 years old and 11.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about driving at that age.
It wouldn't go through your mind as a parent that those two are related. It would just be a huge coincidence, or maybe somebody stole my kids with my car.
Right. Know? And that's scary. Let's do a little mental math here. So they drove 200 miles.
Yeah.
So that means they were probably driving for a good few hours. Let's see, you go 80 miles or 70. I don't know how fast these kids were going. They probably were going the speed limit, maybe. Yeah,
maybe they were 65. Doing 30.
Maybe. That's how they got caught. We're just going to keep up with traffic. That's what we're doing. Okay, gosh. No sudden movements. So they were in the car for a few hours. So if they found them at 4 a.m., they probably lifted that car between midnight and one.
Oh,
maybe.
Man, they snuck out, so, dude. Such bad kids. Bad kids.
Mom was sleeping.
Oh.
So she woke up and like, wait, where are the kids at? Wait, where's
the car?
My car at?
Oh.
But she reported his car and then kids. So I'm a little, I don't know.
She reported the car first. My car is missing.
Like, somebody stole my car.
And if you've got time, my kids are also missing.
They drove for a little while. That's scary to me. I don't know.
That's terrifying. On the highway? Are you kidding?
Yeah, the interstate.
My kids learned to drive legitimately and were terrified of the time that they finally got on the highway.
To the interstate, yeah.
And here's
Johnny
kids.
Johnny hasn't even been on the interstate yet.
Here's kids in theory driving for the first time, and that's directly where they go.
Yeah, let's just take at 4 a.m., you know, it's not too crowded. But the deputies pull the car over, and they, thinking that they're dealing with car thieves, they draw their guns.
Oh, no.
And order those inside. Yeah, their guns are out. And they ordered those inside the car to step out. Well, much to their surprise, deputies observed a 10-year-old male driver exit the vehicle vehicle, along with his 11-year-old sister, the department said in a statement. The children told the deputies the girl had, James, this is where it gets good. The girl had been upset that their mother had taken away her electronic devices because she was misbehaving. So what does the brother do? Hey, well, let's go to California. We get as far away from mom as we can. Yeah. We don't need our devices.
Freaking other side of the country.
Yeah, California.
I planned on running away once, and I was going to go to the park near my house and live there.
Yeah, you can live at the park. How far did you get?
I packed a bag and I hid in the doghouse until it was the right time. And then I got hungry and that bag stayed in there and mildewed.
Oh, whoops. James, why is there a bag in the doghouse?
Well, I was planning on moving the doghouse to the park to live in. And
wow,
I
really thought that through,
but I didn't think it through enough because I couldn't budge it. And so I was like, well, I'll hide in here. My plan just kind of fell apart is really what happened.
Yeah. You probably should have weighed that doghouse before you decided to live in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the logic of children. But today, kids not only apparently are driving, but they're making plans and they're going further than ever before. And the question I have is, how did the kid know how to get to California? Because he still had his device. That's probably why he got to drive, even though she was older. And
probably.
He had GPS on his daggum device.
Yeah, Siri was helping. She was abetting the felons or whatever the term
what,
is.
What for... were they going to do when they ran out of gas?
Oh, they hadn't thought through that.
No, see, their plan was falling apart too. 200 miles?
Yeah.
They, maximum, 200 miles, you got a 330-mile tank of gas, you know? Maybe 350?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. It was a sedan, so who knows?
They hadn't made it to Georgia yet, but they were going to.
No, they were not too far, a few hours, a couple hours away. Well, the children were interviewed by the detectives who said there was no indication that they had been mistreated by their mother or anyone else in the home. James, here's the kicker. The mother, in all of her goodness, she declined to press charges. And the children were released.
I'd freaking press charges. I would.
I don't press the charges.
Yeah, but I believe in natural consequences. If there are natural consequences to be had, like a kid leaves his bike out, I tell him to bring it in. If it rains on it and it rusts, that kid is going to have a rusty bike.
Yeah,
you know, natural consequence right. So, you know, if you break the law, steal a car, drive 200 miles away from my house.
200. Yeah.
That's pretty darn hardcore. It's beyond the point of whooping. Even if you're a whooping person, it's like, how many whoopings does that deserve? It deserves a plethora of whoopings. Like
one every day for the next.
Well, I was thinking at least three a day. For a whole school year.
Breakfast, lunch.
We'll give you 5 days a week, you're getting three whoopings, you know? Timeout is ridiculous at this point as well, too. How much timeout do you deserve? Out. An hour per mile that you made it away from the house?
How about 2 hours per gallon you consumed while driving?
Yeah.
My car's on empty. I mean...
So I say that natural consequences would be what I would go with. I would press charges. My kids would go to juvie or do service, some community service hours. And I would still whoop them three times a day for the next school year. So
I have to go to juvie to give your kid a spanking.
Oh, just a little visitation.
My mom is here to visit me.
They're on one side of the glass. I'm on the other side of the glass. And put your butt up here. Spank the glass. I don't know. I don't know how that would work. Pretend it hurts.
We always get good Florida stories, don't we?
Oh, man. Florida is Florida. Speaking of plethora. So plethora. I think it was great. I think she should have pressed charges. I would have, dude. Oh, and you know when they're getting their freaking devices back? Never.
When?
Never.
When you get a flip phone,
when
just
you
in case.
Buy yourself one, that's when you're getting another one.
Yes.
The day you leave for college. Gosh.
You know, this story reminds me of a time when I was going to run away once. And maybe this might trigger some memories in some of our listeners. They can share their runaway stories with us. But James, you tried to run away to the park. Well, I was going to run away. I was very disappointed with my mom because she was going to get married to this guy that I didn't know, and I was going to have a stepdad, and he was going to make us move away from Florida. And I was like, I'm not having any of this, so I'm going to run away.
Okay.
And I didn't plan very well. So this is embarrassing. I don't know if I've told you this or not. So I didn't even get out of the house. I just slept in my closet. Because I wanted my mom to come in the morning.
to what?
And see my empty bed.
Oh, okay. I got you.
She's going to come in the morning. This was what was going through my mind, my preteen mind. My mom's going to come in the morning. She's going to come in the room and see that my bed is empty. And she'll see, because I had it made. Like, I never even made my bed when I was a kid. But I made my bed look good.
Right, so it looked like it does on TV. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's going to come in the room, and she's gonna wail because her child was gone. and she's going to know that he ran away, and then she's going to reconsider getting married
right.
to this guy.
Yep.
So what I did is I slept in the closet, and I had the doors closed, which I also never close the closet doors. And I had a terrible sleep that night.
I bet you did.
Because it was all crunched up in there because all the junk I had in my closet, I couldn't roll over and stuff. And so this is what happened. So that I wanted her to at least think I ran away. She opens the door. She looks around. And then she says, "Where are you?" And then she opens the closet door.
Immediately.
Which I was already awake.
Right.
I couldn't sleep that night. She looks down at me. She's like, "Oh, you silly boy." I'm like, "No.
No.
That made me even madder. No, I ran away last night when you were sleeping and..."
You didn't even notice.
Didn't even notice. I had a terrible sleep, and it's all your fault. No, so that's yeah.
That's
I didn't even make it out of the house.
And I know for a fact that you didn't stop the wedding, because I know who you're talking about. So
yep. Hey, I would have never met you if I did.
That's true. Because he moved you to Georgia, didn't he?
He sure did.
Oh man.
Yep. Well, St. Mary's.
Well, with today's technology, imagine what you could have accomplished. You could have set up a whole thing, and you could have stolen keys and driven hundreds of miles away. I just can't get over that.
I started a GoFundMe for gas money.
How far did that seat move forward in order for a 10-year-old to reach the daggum pedals?
10-year-old.
Did he squish down to where he couldn't see and set the cruise and then get back up on his knees? I mean, how dangerous. They're lucky they didn't kill somebody or get killed themselves. Oh,
man.
So terrible. Well, thanks for that. But I'm going to pull on you one more time to tell us another story, the featured story.
Let me tell y'all a story.
Yeah, well, I feel like... Going back to the old days.
It is.
Here.
It's old school.
This is. And I have a story that actually was thinking about for a while. But this is kind of interesting. And this it's embarrassing for me, for one. Because I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I was listening to some of our older episodes.
Okay.
Just last week. I thought, oh, let's listen to the Clown Letdown episode, you know, because that's a good one.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, I can't remember what episode it was. What was it, like
130 something? Yeah.
130 something. Okay. Way back then. I was in my 30s. I think early 30s when we did that one.
Wow.
Maybe mid 30s. I don't know.
Yeah.
And back then I thought, man, I thought I had it together, you know? I thought, oh, man, I'm so established and so smart. And listening to that episode, I was cringing.
Really?
Because I'm like, yeah, I'm like, man, I am an idiot. What was I thinking? And just, I remember thinking back then, because that whole story was about me when I was in college and breaking up with a girl. I say, man, I am just a series of stupid stories. And then I listened to the episode after, which for those of you who haven't listened yet, spoiler, the girl that I broke up with in college, she found the show and she wrote in and stuff. Do you remember Spotlight Person? Do you remember that being said?
No.
Okay, well, apparently in the letter that she wrote to you, I had said something about being a spotlight person, that we were both spotlight people, and, we just can't, apparently that doesn't work for us.
Oh, because both of you had to have the spotlight. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right. That was the dumbest thing that a person could ever think or say, and that came out of my mouth at some point. And I'm listening to that, and I was like, holy cow. Am I in 10 years or 5 years going to look back on me at 40, whatever I am now, and think, man, you're an idiot, John?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm ever going to grow out.
Yeah, I cringe at old episodes as well. It's like old television shows from your childhood that you thought were so awesome. And then you go to watch them and you're like, not that awesome. It's not really that awesome.
Yeah.
I had somebody watch Goonies for the first time, and they're younger, they're generation millennials, and she's like, oh, that was pretty good, it's like an old school escape room. And I was like, I was offended, but then I was like, well, she kind of has a point.
It's kind of right. It's an old school.
I wanted to put my foot down in the sand and say no, draw a line and say it's a treasure hunt, it's an adventure, an
adventure story.
Yes,
you millennial. Get it together.
Steven Spielberg. Goonies. You know what they never say? Yeah. They never say die. You know?
Never say die.
That's right.
Ever.
So
one-eyed Willie's there to...
They also say keep the drugs separate, but... Yeah. Remember mouth?
That's right. That's
always right. Separate the drugs. So.
Yeah, mouth. Yeah, yeah.
So
that was...
But that movie is a little cringy, a little tiny bit, I will say. You know, it still holds up, but it's not as great as I remember it being. And it didn't hold up for this millennial. And the old shows definitely do the same thing. It holds a place in people's hearts.
It's nostalgic to us because it was us.
But ours. They still like it, even though it's cringy to us. And I don't understand that. But maybe it was better than we think.
I mean, I think I'm, you know, smarter now, but apparently I'm not. So, so with that in mind,
right.
Let's delve into my younger days when I definitely, was a moron. This story takes place, I think I might've been 12.
Okay.
So that'd be maybe 1987. Yeah. Yeah, 87, 87, 88, I don't know. Anyways, I went at this time in my life, I'm a 12-year-old kid, and I know everything, and I'm super smart, and I have crushes on all the girls in my life, and except for my sisters. I didn't have crushes on them.
That's weird. You weren't homeschooled, so I'm close. Kidding. I'm kidding.
I went to a little Christian school in Central Florida. All the friends that I had like maybe a few friends in my neighborhood, which was really just a street with a bunch of houses on it. And I had all my friends at school. That was pretty much my friend group. And I guess I had some friends at church too, but I had this party that I was invited to from one of my friends from school. Her name was Sue Lynn. It was going to be an epic party. She invited all of us over to her house. Everybody in the sixth grade. I think Sue Lynn might have been in fifth grade. I was in sixth grade. I can't remember. In a small Christian school, sometimes they'll take two grades and they'll put them in the same room.
Yeah.
You know, like fourth and fifth grade were in the same room. Sixth and seventh, you know, all of middle school, I think, for me, was all in the same room. There's like, you know, two desks for the eighth graders and one desk for the... Anyways, so the class was going over there. It was me and my friend Chris and Joseph and a couple other guys that maybe... And then there was Sulin and a few different girls, Carrie and Michelle. We're all going to go. Veronica. You know Veronica. Yeah, Veronica. She was there too. Yeah. We were going to have this sleepover at her house. So awesome. Great. I think this might have been the first co-ed sleepover.
I was about to say, dang. Yeah, I wouldn't let my kid go, but, you know.
Yeah, well, this is the 80s, and it's different.
Different time.
So definitely. Now, we didn't sleep in the same room. Okay.
Well, no. I knew that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, sorry. And the mom was very concerned about us, you know, sneaking in and into the other person's room. So she slept, like, there was two rooms across from each other. And then and there was, like, kind of separated by, like, if I can remember this correctly, like a living room with the couches and the TV and all that. So the mom slept in that room on the couch.
Okay.
And to make sure that we didn't, you know, misbehave or anything. Yeah. Yeah, frat night. She started snoring and pretending she was sleeping.
She's gonna catch whoever was the first one to be wicked.
Yeah, whoever tried was gonna get, you know, the beat down or the smackdown or whatever. But here's the thing, us guys, we didn't care anything. We didn't care anything about going and talking to the girls in the middle of the night because Sulin's brother had a game console. It might have been the Sega. No, I don't remember. I remember the game Moonwalker. You remember the Michael Jackson game Moonwalker?
Yeah, that would be Sega.
He had that game, and we just played that all night. That's what we did. So
save children and had a monkey friend. Yeah,
that's right. He could do the moonwalk, and like there's parts where he would sing and dance and stuff like that. I don't know. I need to go back to that game. Speaking of things that, you know, you go back to in life that you thought were awesome and cool, and then going back.
It's a little creepy now. Like, it's a little creepy because the kids come run into him and it doesn't hold up.
We know the other side of the story. Wow.
The alleged side of the story.
Alleged, right. I don't know. Back to the story here. So we had the sleepover. It was great. Well, the next day, you know, we didn't leave like right away in the morning. We had events planned for the afternoon. So the first thing that we decided to do was, you know, eat breakfast and all that fun stuff. But then we were going to play softball in the backyard, which is fun to play softball in the backyard. The houses in Florida, they're not real spaced apart, at least where she lived.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was why her parents said, hey, why don't you guys play softball in the backyard? I don't know. Maybe they thought we actually wouldn't connect with the ball. But here I am thinking I'm just the world's greatest athlete and stuff. And I really wanted to impress them, those girls that were there. I just wanted them to think, oh, he's so cool and funny. And he's quite an athlete. And so I'm trying to be all, you know, macho and stuff and playing the game. So somebody hits a ball to me and I go out to grab the ball and the ball pops up and hits me right in the face.
Oh!
And I get like a little bit of a bloody lip and I'm just like, oh, I saw a K. I'm cool. I'm good. No big deal. You know, whatever. We keep playing the game. And then it's my turn to be at bat. And so I connect with the ball and I kind of hit it pretty good into their house.
Oh.
Where it went through a window.
Oh!
I felt so terrible. I'm like, man, this sucks to be me. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, well, that happens, you know? Yeah. I didn't take, like, any kind of, like, oh, geez, I'm sorry I broke your window. Let me pay for it or anything like that. I just, like, well, I'm a sixth grader. I don't know what to do. They were like, oh, that's fine. Let's not play that game anymore.
Yeah.
So then we finally decided to take a walk down to the lake. So, you know, in Florida, there's lakes everywhere.
Yeah, there is a lake within reach. Yeah, especially around the Lakeland area.
Yeah, that's right. A surprising name for that town, eh?
Yeah.
In her neighborhood or whatever, there was a lake that wasn't too far away. So we all decided to go walk around the lake, and we went to the lake. And I guess it was more of a retention pond. I don't know. It wasn't very big that I recall, but I do remember it had like a culvert. Is that what you call it? It's like a big pipe.
Yeah,
culvert. Right? That kind of goes out into like... And it had, at the end of it, it was almost like it had washed away around it because, you know, the big pipe was secured in place by a big, you know, concrete kind of wall thing. But there was a bit of this pipe that actually went out into the water,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't have any land to it. So you could walk across this big pipe and then stand on that little concrete wall. And so that's what they were doing. They were walking over to the pipe and standing on the little wall and just having a blast. And I thought, you know what? I'm a pretty cool dude. I'm kind of athletic. I'm going to do something awesome. I'm going to jump from the bank and I'm going to land on that wall.
Oh.
And they're going to think that I am so cool. I can't recall 100%, but I probably captured their attention. I was like, hey, everybody, check this out. Because that's probably something stupid that I would do.
This is going to be radical.
This is going to be so rad.
This is going to be killer.
They're going to love, they're going to think I'm the coolest guy on the planet. Well,
totally.
So I get myself ready. I probably get their attention. And then I start running. And I picked up speed. And I don't know, it's probably maybe 5 feet from the shore to this little wall that I'm going to jump on. And I'm thinking, I'm going to make this. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. So I jump from the bank and I'm slowly just kind of doing that move that you kind of slow motion through the
Million
air,
Dollar Man sound going. Plays.
Yeah. That's what was happening. That was it. I'm like, I am amazing. And I'm seeing it. The wall is coming close to me. I'm going to land on it. I had no question about that because my skills were so great. And my feet connected with that wall, and I was like, I am awesome. But you know what I didn't take into any consideration? What is that law of inertia, I think it is? I apparently had will remain in motion. That's exactly what happened. So my feet touched the wall there, but my body kept going. And I landed smack in that lake.
Oh.
Like right. And like they're all like pointing at me and laughing. Oh! So that's water. And you know, the first thing that goes through my mind is there's probably an alligator in here.
Yeah.
So not only did I jump in the lake, but now I'm freaked out because something's probably gonna eat me.
Yeah.
So I go running up the bank and they're all laughing at me, you know, just they probably thought I did it on purpose. Just
okay.
To be funny. But on the inside I was crying. I'm so stupid. Why did I try this? I don't like myself anymore. So The mom came and picked us up, and I'm all wet and sitting in the car.
What happened to you?
And have dry clothes, and I had to wait for my mom to pick me up.
You got a leg missing.
Yeah.
From the alligators.
Yeah.
Oh.
So dumb. But that was my childhood. So that's just one little piece of my stupidity.
I didn't know.
I think I'm so cool.
I didn't know this side of you. I mean, that's not a side of you I ever saw. When I knew you, you must have burned that out of yourself or something. You know, you never once came across like a showy offy kind of dude, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
I don't think that I am, but I also thought that I had myself together.
I gotcha.
I don't know. The older I get, the dumber I realize I've been my whole life. And yeah, I'm thinking, maybe one day I'll grow up. I don't know.
I'm having the opposite effect. I feel like the older I get, the dumber I get. And I really was planning on getting smarter, you know, because old people are supposed to be wise, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I keep waiting. Every decade, I'd be like, okay, next time I'm going to be, you know, when I hit 30, I'm going to be smart. When I hit 40... When I hit 50,
I'm gonna have it all figured out.
And now I'm like maybe 60, but no, I feel like I was a better human at 40. I was funnier and smarter and thinner at 40, you know, than now. So I don't know.
I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I realize how dumb I was back then, and I just assume that I hope I get smarter, but I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna happen.
But I guess. Just getting older. That's all that's happening.
Yes. Yes. I agree. Now,
what's the answer?
Well, thanks for the story.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the painful trip down memory lane.
Let's do a quick word from our sponsors.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, it's time for some listener stories. Is there anybody going to listen to my story? All right, this is called Copier Cringe. It's from Keith Helsley. He says, I was on a job to fix a copier that put out blank copies. Not dirty ones or even ones with lines or splotches on them. The paper came out blank. It was a rather unusual problem. The business was one that auctioned automobiles. And as I began my routine servicing of their copier, I noticed an increasing amount of inner office turmoil while I was doing my job. Awkward. That would be awkward. I decided it would be best for me to keep out of it and focus on my task at hand. I won't bore you with all the technical details, but in the end, I found a staple had fallen across a wire that was shorting out part of the system. After running several test copies of the document that was already on the cover glass, I ran some other quality checks as well. And by this time, the turmoil in the office seemed to be reaching a fever pitch. And I hated to interrupt, but after all, my job was done here and I needed to have someone sign my invoice. So I explained the work that I had done. I showed the secretary the resulting test copies, and suddenly the stressed out secretary seemed overjoyed. Inner office turmoil over. It seemed that the document that they were stressing over was an automobile title that was needed right away. And it was also the document that happened to be left on the glass of the copier that I had made several duplications of. And it was the last thing the frazzled secretary had been, it had been the last thing she had tried to copy before she called me. In the end, it was a double win for the worried secretary, since she had her missing document returned and the copier was back in working order. So you enjoyed the story, Keith Helsley. The office was fuming. Keith didn't enjoy it, but the work that he did saved that woman's employment. So there you go.
Masculine rhyming.
Yes.
Enjoy it and employment. It works.
It works. That's an example. That's an example. So there you go. Keith also said, in reference to a previous story where a young lady named Jess photocopied her rump as a joke and broke the copier. He said that a copy glass screen can hold up to 30 pounds. So she's lucky she didn't bust through that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome, by the way, that he knows that.
We have the smartest and best listeners in the world.
We do. We do. And one day I hope that I can attain their level of wisdom and smartness and coolness, especially
Evel.
This story that Evel has that I get to read next.
It's evil.
Are you ready for this?
I am.
Did I say her name wrong?
No. She actually sent the pronunciation. It's Evel. It's Evel.
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 And but it's spelled E-V-E-L, and I don't care, but if you have a weird name, it's whatever I say it is, so it's evil.
I remember a story from Evel
a
while back, and I remember we had a lot of trouble trying to pronounce that, so I appreciate the phonetic pronunciation, but Evel is from Ding Dong, Texas, James.
No, she's not.
I didn't believe that was a real place.
It is a real place.
It is.
She would not put her hometown in the form. She said, no, thank you.
Okay.
And so I'm like, well, then you're from wherever I say you're from. And I Googled embarrassing town names, and Ding Dong, Texas came up.
Okay.
So she's from freaking Ding Dong, Texas.
Okay.
That's right.
I'll be nice to Evel from Ding Dong, Texas. Or allegedly. We don't know. But that's the safe way to do it. If you don't want us to know where you're from. Which, yep. Stalkers, right?
Right.
Yeah. So here we go. This is the back slap, James. Evel says, "Hi, James and John. Let me start off by saying that when I learned to swim, I was more so tossed into the water and expected to float rather than given structured lessons."
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's how
you must have had parents like, actually, do you remember learning to swim?
I don't. I think it was somewhat the same thing. My mom probably was holding me and she just let me go and watched to see if I would make it to the surface. And then I knew how to swim, you know?
Yeah. I have very vivid memories of learning to swim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. I remember thinking that it was just something that we were born with this ability. So when I was old enough to walk, and this is crazy, I remember this happening like it was yesterday. I don't know how old I was, but I got into the pool because, you know, in Florida, there's pools everywhere. Yep. My neighbor had a pool. I didn't have a pool. My neighbor did. I got into a pool somewhere and I walked down the steps and I took that last step off, the last step there into the water. And I didn't swim. I just was up over my head. And I remember trying to swim. I was moving my arms and turning my head. And I was like, I'm not going to make it. My little brain was thinking, oh, no. This is it. This is over for me. And somebody pulled me out of the pool. I guess my mom was close enough by to get me and rescue me. But it was at that moment that I think that the arm floaties came out.
Yeah.
Or any time that I was going to get in the water.
I had
so
those.
Yeah.
My sister
every the arm floaties, you would blow those puppies up and stick them over your arms. And I used to like to put them on and then put my t-shirt on over because it would make you look like you had these huge muscles. So you learn it. It's kind of funny, those arm floaties, you know, because you get in the water and like, if you really don't know how to kick yet, you're just kind of barely floating with your arms up in the air. It's like, these things are going to come off. I'm going to sink to the bottom.
So I don't think they make those anymore, do they?
No, they make like swim vests.
Oh, that's
what I got
sense.
For my kids when they were, it's okay. Like a thing, you zip them up in it and they can't take it off. And in fact, it even keeps them from floating on their belly.
Oh,
like the all the
it turns
all the,
them over,
inflatable
huh?
stuff. Yeah, it turns them over so that they're on their back. So
so they're just on their back. Anyway. Like, this is hilarious. Yeah. This is the funnest thing ever.
I'm learning to swim.
I'm like a turtle on his back, but you know it's the greatest thing ever.
They learn the backstroke. That's the first thing they learn. That's and then kicking and stuff. But another time that I remember learning to swim. Sorry, Evel, I've jumped into your story here. My neighbors across the street had a pool. And one day, that mom, my friend's mom across the street, she's like, "You're going to learn how to swim today." I'm like, "All right, sounds great." And so she took me in that pool, and she dunked me under the water, and she pushed me. And she's, and I'm like, I come up, she pushed me towards the wall, and I come up, and I'm like, "Bleh!" choking and stuff.
Right.
She's like, "All right, you did it." And like, "I'm not doing that again." She's like, "Nope, yep, you are."
Oh,
I really did kind of learn to swim that day.
Swimming's a big deal.
I don't think I ever went in their pool ever again.
Oh, that's funny. Swimming's a big deal in Florida. Like, every kid knows how to swim. And then here in St. Louis, nobody knows how to swim. Like, full-grown people don't know how to swim.
Well, you got that big Mississippi River. I don't think anybody wants to go swimming in that.
No. But there's just not access to pools and bodies of water. That, you know, and even if it is, it's a pool that's made to keep you from drowning, you know? So it's not like 12 foot deep. Like the ones you ever remember floating around the shallow end and getting close to the buoys and your feet start slipping out from under you. Cause the deep end's taking you in. And you're like, ooh!
You grab that rope. You know that's going to suck you in and under.
Yeah, so you grab the rope and you get yelled at by the lifeguard. Let go of the rope!
Yes! They blow the whistle. You got to sit on the side of the pool for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't swim. Die. You didn't see. Oh, and then you couldn't wear cutoffs. in public pools, because they would clog up the drains or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, oh, whatever. Well, that's all I had was cut off, so I couldn't afford to buy a proper swimsuit. Just cut the legs off the jeans and went swimming. Anyways, okay, so back to Evel's story here. She was tossed into the water, never given structured lessons. Now, with that in mind, I was at a family reunion. The day was hot, so my aunt and uncle opened up their pond for us to swim in. Hey, go on the pond. All my cousins were lining up to go off the diving board to do unrealistic tricks, as half of them were younger than me. I don't know how that makes the tricks unrealistic, but that's what Evel wrote.
Evel.
So I didn't want them to persecute me because I didn't know how to swim. A bunch of seven-year-olds, you know, making fun of me. So I decided to tempt fate and get in line for the diving board. By the time it was my turn, everyone was edging me to do a backflip off the diving board. I slowly stepped out to the board, walking slowly. I took a deep breath and, facing the crowd that was chanting, "Do it, do it, do it," I threw myself towards the inky depths. So Evel not only does not know how to swim, but also does not know how to dive. So for a second, I was flying. However, instead of rotating a full 360 and diving into the water headfirst, I only did like a 270. Yeah, that's right. I plummeted 10 feet and smacked my back on the surface of the water, creating a big splash and searing my whole body with pain. Like I did a belly flop on my back.
Ow. It hurts. Well,
fortunately, yeah, I can feel it right now. It's like from the back all the way to the shoulders. It feels like a sunburn, except worse.
Yes.
Fortunately, though, the pain was merely heightening my senses and not dulling them. So I started to swim up to the surface. I rose to cheers and shouts of concern to the awaiting crowd and proceeded to swim straight to the shallow end, where I played Marco Polo with my sisters. Yeah, that's not the whole story, though, James, because she gives us a middle school version.
All right.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
So I was at a big pond farm place thing, and everyone was trying to go off the diving board, so I wanted to go too. So I went to the line, but everyone was like, "Oh, do a backflip backwards thing." So I did it, but I hit the water like a belly flop, but reverse. I started to fall under the water, and I was coming up for air because I needed to breathe. Somebody started pulling me up from the water. When we came up, I realized he was pretty for a guy. P.S. I'm a girl. And then I realized he's probs my cousin because I was in the one place. See, let's just say I was really embarrassed. Kai, bye, lulz. Did I do that?
Yeah,
right?
You did. You did good. Evel from Ding Dong, Texas. The enemy of the show. I have a rhyme for this one. It's hard to gauge a flip on the fly. She's lucky her sexy cousin was such a nice guy.
It's really cute.
It's really,
are we related?
He's a pretty boy. He's pretty for a boy. Oh, my goodness. Well, well, well. Thank you so much for your stories, ladies and gentlemen. We do have some announcements real quick. Hats are available. Etsy.com/NLcast. You've heard this announcement. And you will continue to hear it until all these hats are out of my office. So buy a hat. So Etsy.com/NLcast. Yeah. We need more stories. I know you guys think we're rolling in them, and usually we are, but we're getting down to the bare nubs. We need some stories. Yeah. So send in your stories. A lot of times this happens when I ask for theme show stories, is people will be like, "Oh, he's collecting for theme show, so I'm not going to send in mine because it's theme show stories." No, we still need your stories. So send them in. If you have one you've been sitting on for a while, you've been thinking about sending it in, it's time to do that. Go to nlcast.com and click on submit a story and fill out the form, send it in, or you can call us in. We'll talk about that in a minute. Or you can schedule a time to tell me your story, and we can put it on the show that way. There's all kinds of ways. So, also, our theme show.
Our next theme show. Only Canada Stories. All Canada, all the time.
We're starting to get some Canada stories. I've got some in the folder waiting to go, but we need more. It's going to be Thursday, November 16th. So you've got about 3 weeks left to get your Canada stories in. Now, again, we want stories about Canada from Canadians. I don't care. As long as it's Canada-related, then we will use it. Send them in. That's the way to do it. Also, we want to thank our podcast people. This podcast is possible because of our members who support us, even though they don't have to. So get that Story Show Premium, which includes ad-free listening, swag, and a weekly bonus podcast called Stuff That Didn't Fit on the Show. Try it out for 7 days for free at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. I also want to thank Flash Juris for upping your monthly contribution. He like doubled it. Thanks. It was awesome. Yeah.
What?
And special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Kerry Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here. Shirley, you have a funny life story. Why not send it into the show? Submit your story at thatstory.show. Call it in toll free, 833-55-STORY. And while you're there, you can join our mailing list. And remember, Harry, hilarious life stories. We all have one, so you need to share yours on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks, James.
All right. So what song, what story should I use? I'm going to use Cat Killer.
Okay.
Here we go. I don't like it when cats chew on the birds. I think you knew that. I think you at least heard. So I went to the garage and I grabbed myself a Nerf bow. And you know I'm gonna go out that cat and I'm gonna shoot him in the back. And he will screech like a little bat. The demon ran away and jumped over the fence. And my pigtails went all over the place. And the guy next door, he made an observation. He said, I saw the craziest thing the other day. And I want to say it was the funniest thing I ever seen. That girl's pigtails were raving like a big machine. And that's what I wanted to say today, is that I like that story in a major way. So thank you, Andrew Mulder. Thank you for sending it in. It wasn't a sin. I don't know. That's the only way I could end. See the masculine rhyme thing?
Yeah. It felt almost like an 80s rap.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.